everyone, and thank you for joining our latest In Conversation With, an exclusive feature in our upcoming Family Office Quarterly Newsletter, which is now live. My name is Kristen Liller, and I'm a client specialist within our Family Office Solutions team here at UBS. Family Office Solutions is a team of dedicated specialists who work with our advisors to deliver holistic advice to the firm's wealthiest families. Our solutions include areas such as income tax strategies, family office design and governance, family advisory and philanthropy, and art advisory, to name a few. We are solely focused on advancing our platform and resources targeted to the family office segment. Today, we are joined by Jeremy Langlois, Managing Director of Data Solutions for iCapital. We're going to dive into iCapital, consolidated reporting, and outsourced consolidated reporting solutions for family offices. With that said, let's dive right in. Jeremy, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I know I gave a short bio a minute ago, but could you fill me in further on yourself and Mirador and iCapital?
Yes. Well, I was actually born and raised in Arizona, and I grew up playing hockey, which is an interesting story in itself. I got recruited to play at Quinnipiac University. I didn't go to college wanting to or really knowing about finance or even really knowing what a family office was. I got interested, ended up doing my bachelor's and my master's degree in finance. And I signed to play professional hockey after graduating. And in my first off season, I navigated my way to an internship at a private equity firm called Credit Value Partners. It was a great first experience learning, new issue debt deals. And had a great mentor there at the time that had, given me a good knowledge base of what finance is today, but also what you should be thinking about in the future with the way technology was moving. And so my next season, I was actually playing out in San Jose. I tore my hip labrum. I was doing rehab back in Connecticut. And I couldn't do my normal internship. And, I was thinking back to that mentor conversation of, hey, you should think about the intersection of technology and finance. And so it's a funny story today, but I actually met Joe LaRosa, who was the CEO of Mirador and co-founder, and met him on Craigslist. And it was actually a job posting for a startup fintech company in Darien, Connecticut, where I was living at the time. And I met Joe in a Greenwich Starbucks with a rough business plan of what Mirador would do. We both decided to kind of jump head first. I continued to actually play hockey as we grew Mirador initially. Our first client was actually a multi-billion-dollar family office that was based out of Connecticut but had assets globally. Four generations, we were tracking everything from liquid cash equity fixed income to alternatives, private equity hedge funds, direct investments. And we implemented and still operate them today on Atifar. And we really built the name of, being experts when it comes to consolidated reporting and acting as an extension of our firms or our families, navigating these performance reporting systems. We steadily built Mirador over almost a decade to serve as family offices as well as larger wealth managers. We have a great partnership with UBS. And we were acquired by iCapital in May of 2024. And that's been very synergistic for both companies. iCapital is the leading alts platform out there, and the goal is to be really the operating system for alternatives for clients. And with that, there's a robust alternative marketplace and a big structured investments annuities business. When you think about the iCapital business, they really tech enable a bunch of pieces of what was very inefficient workflows when it comes to investing in alternatives. But there is many cases where iCapital run across clients that have alternatives that were outside of the core platform. And that's really an area that Mirador specialized in, is tracking any asset across any asset class, no matter where it's held. And so now iCapital broadly, with the extension of iCapital Data Solutions, can now work with our clients, the wealth management firms, as well as families, tracking and aggregating assets all across any asset class.
Thank you for sharing all of that. You have an incredibly interesting background and truthfully not what I expected. Can you talk, and you just addressed a little bit of Mirador and how it started, but can you talk about the problem that it was addressing, the challenges of staffing this function inside of a family office, and really how Mirador came to life?
Yeah, the genesis was the demand for consolidated reporting. At Joe's prior firm, they were an independent wealth manager. One of the largest asset aggregation or data gathering tools that they were doing was to provide consolidated reporting on behalf of the families. So, you know, family may had, you know, $50 million with them, but they had $100 million outside of them, and they would offer to consolidate that all on one platform. And at this time, you know, after 08, many tools, you know, became SaaS-based platform tools. They didn't have to be on-prem at a firm. They were leveraging some newer technology at the time. And we came at it from the framework, well, how can we partner with families to operate these best-in-class third-party technology platforms? And then how can we tech-enable pieces of that process to make ourselves more efficient as we are operating those tools? You know, many families at the time were receiving fragmented reporting, you know, across multiple institutions, right? So they had assets at one firm, but they were also going direct into private equity deals or into real estate, or they had significant, you know, holdings in art or wine or cars or any of those other assets that go into the full balance sheet for these families. And so we came at it from, hey, if you're using any legacy tools or in many cases, Excel spreadsheets, we could take you from that to a newer tool that could aggregate all of this data on a nightly basis. We could track and manage all of the alternatives and hard to track assets, so that you could actually get a full picture of what you own in a real time basis. And many systems at the time were really built around, you know, what I would call like a husband and wife and retirement accounts, which when you think about family offices, there's much more dynamic factors that go into that, from, you know, pooled entities to multi-currency to, you know, needing to be able to aggregate, you know, a lot of, you know, non-publicly traded assets. And so there was a high demand for consolidated reporting, and we really hit the market at the right time of being experts that could actually operate those platforms to ensure that our clients could get the most out of them.
What do you notice from family office clients that initially managed the consolidated reporting function in-house and then chose to outsource it with Mirador iCapital?
Well, I'll tell you the most often asked question, and I'm sure you get it too. Many family offices ask, hey, what are other family offices doing? And you know, this is usually followed up by, how do we know what is good reporting? Are we getting the most out of our reporting systems? And as you know, every family in itself is different. It's very hard to find, you know, one and two that are the same. And a lot of it goes into, you know, how are they handling investments? Are they leveraging firms like UBS? How are they handling the accounting or tax side? You know, what is their operating model internally? Do they have internal resources that are doing some of these activities? Are they a virtual family office and really leveraging other counterparties to execute on the work? And so it's great to have resources like the UBS Family Office Solutions that have been through that and can kind of help kind of the end-to-end from governance to technology to the actual operations. And, you know, it's obviously preferred to engage with families at the front end of selecting some of these tools, but we actually get most of our clients coming in where they've already selected a tool or they're thinking about selecting the tool and they're trying to figure out, you know, do we outsource it or do we, you know, leverage somebody like iCapital Data Solutions to help operate the tool? You know, the decision can come from a variety of different ways. Oftentimes it comes when they lose a key employee or subject matter expert that took the time, they learned the system, they got the client implemented, and they end up leaving. And then now the family office is panicking to try to figure out who can fill the seat. There are other cases where the families are leveraging, you know, senior folks, whether it's the president of the family office or a CIO or a CFO that is now tasked with data maintenance and a technology that they don't know. And so they often struggle to get the most out of the system. And so at the end of the day, you do need dedicated expertise in order to run these reporting systems. You know, one of the things that I notice most about working with clients is that they're managing the system as needed, right? So they're managing it to run a monthly report or a quarterly report. They're not doing it daily. So when they go to run their monthly report, they have a mountain of tasks when it comes to reconciliation or data management. It builds up and it makes it very hard to actually efficiently run the business. I call it having good hygiene, right? So you brush your teeth in the morning, you need to check your data in the morning. You need to have a bunch of checks and balances to ensure that you're getting the most out of the system. At the end of the day, most of these family offices deal with what I call the fractionalization issue, right? So they have this need to be able to operate these systems, but they may only need a half a person or three-fourths of a person or a person and a half, and you can't do that in life. And so it's an ebb and a push and a pull for the resources that they need at a given time. And so when we engage with our families, we usually start off with understanding the inputs of the data, understanding the desired output, depending on who's going to need to access that data and information. And then once we do that, they oftentimes ask more questions. Well, hey, now that I actually have good data coming in, now that I can actually ask these things on an ad hoc basis and get the reporting that I need, I want to see X, Y, and Z. And that's, again, the benefit of leveraging a third party that lives and breathes these systems on a day-to-day basis.
That's really helpful. Following on the theme of families want to know what other family offices are doing, what are some of the ways you see families engaging with this data? And following up on that as well, what are some of the unique and surprising ways that families are using this?
Great question. And I think it really depends on who are you asking within the family office. You know, if you're on the investment side of family office, you're wanting to look at returns and time-weighted returns and IRRs or risk calculations that may drive a lot of the performance and balancing. If you're on the accounting side, you may be looking for realized gain information or dividends or distributions or accruals that may be feeding your GLs. If you're a family member, you may want that monthly report, or you may want something to show the next generation on their given ownership in a pooled trust or a pooled vehicle, whatever it may be. And then if you're a trustee or you're on a board, you may want to be looking at these reports to understand, are they adhering to target allocations, what's happening within the overall portfolio that you may be a fiduciary around. So, yeah, we really work with our clients to understand the dynamics, understand the operating model so that we can provide output for the family office to engage with. Most families do end up having those standardized monthly and quarterly reports that can be run basically at a click of a button on a variety of different levels. You know, these reports are a mix of art and science, right? So you want to match the in demands of the consumer, but you also want to make sure it's scalable so that when you get asked to do it next time, it's repeatable, you have a process around it, and you can actually manage the data going forward. With many of the newer reporting systems, I often get asked, can you do this? And the answer is yes, but should you do it is a different question. Here's how we can use our expertise of building out these report packages across, you know, hundreds of family offices of different ways to think and to manage that data. But most of the standardized ways that families are engaging their reports is they're using it to create dashboards. You know, what is my overall asset allocation across the full family? You know, they'll have pages that are specific to asset classes, right? So their, you know, alternative pages will show their unfunded commitments, the money that's already been spoken for across those entities. You know, where is my cash across all of the different accounts that I own? What is the change in value? I started with this. I ended with this. What happened? Did I put money in? Did I pull money out? Did I have a return in this area? And so that's really the value of consolidated reporting is you have those standardized report packages that everybody can be speaking the same language when it comes to sitting down and meeting as a group. And then when it comes to the future, you know, I'd say 10 years ago, the expectation was you had that solid monthly and quarterly report that was a PDF that was sent around to the families. You know, the next gen is really looking at portals and apps, the ability to customize that data where necessary to fit their needs. So, you know, I think as these trends continue, the operating business that we live and seek needs to also continue. And I really think that's where, you know, having people that really understand the data, but also understand the dynamics of the family office and meeting you where you're at rather than trying to fit them into one report package or one group. And that's really, if you think about the UBS offering that we have via Addepar and iCapital today, provides that layer of having monthly and quarterly reports, but having flexibility and giving the families flexibility depending on the types of assets that they may have or how they want to look at the data. So over the years, you've seen a bunch of unique and surprising ways for family offices to engage with the data. You know, one example I like to talk about is we had a real estate family that started with us just looking at their investment portfolio. It was second generation family. They had a lot of trust. They had a lot of joint ownership of different vehicles. They're investing across public assets as well as privates. And that's where they started. They then ended up adding real estate. So their operating business was a real estate company. So they owned apartments and hotels and single family real estate. So we kind of had a single line item for each of the trust of what the value was. And they said, this is great. Well, what if we add not only the value, but the liabilities, the debt, the cost to complete. And now we can show gross and net across each of the hundreds of properties that they own. And we can take GL data from Yardi to show operating cash across all of these different portfolios. So now they can actually see the joint ownership across all of the entities, as well as what percent the trust owns into the different properties. And, you know, the comment from the family office head after their last trustee meeting was, wow, this is probably the first time that the trustees really had a full picture of, you know, the public side, the private side, the real estate business all into one with the weightings of the underlying entities, which actually helped them make decisions when it comes to, you know, at what point do they continue to invest in the operating business versus continuing to deploy money to the public or private side. So that's a great example of how families kind of start one place, but also evolve over time in interesting ways. Another example is a family office that, you know, is a G1, very tech-enabled family office. They had a pre-existing general ledger. They ended up selecting a newer performance reporting system. And they're actually using APIs out of both systems to feed Power BI to actually show them dashboards on a daily basis where, you know, the matriarch and patriarch can go in. They have really cool dashboards that they like to customize to fit their data and needs. And again, those are things that you're seeing from people that are more tech-focused, that do want to actually play with the data and information. They don't want to be, you know, the ones manually typing in or manually reconciling, but they do want to consume the data and customize the data dependent on how they're looking. And, you know, I'd say the most simple and real-time example is when there are times of volatility. So I don't know exactly when the podcast will be coming out, but we're in a period where there is a lot of volatility. And this is usually where, you know, clients are running on a lot of reports. They want ad hoc reports to show on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you know, what is my performance? What do their returns look like? Where's my cash? How much cash do I have to deploy? You know, when you have everything consolidated in one system, you don't have it all siloed across a bunch of areas. It's not an Excel spreadsheet that aren't updated. When you have it in a tool and a technology and you are doing that daily hygiene, you can facilitate those requests in an easy manner. And so during times like this, it's really where we're seeing families using it in unique ways, giving them more up-to-date information so that they can be prepared to make better decisions from that framework.
There's been a lot of innovation and entrance into the consolidated reporting market in recent years. You talked a little bit about the future in the last question, but where do you think this space is going?
Yeah, you know, there continues to be new entrants into the market. You know, I liken it to an arms race right now. There's a ton of money being spent to attract clients, to grow wallet share. You know, you have firms like Adifar that are touting spending $100 million a year on tech to improve the platform. So, you know, keeping up with the Joneses keeps getting more expensive. You know, given the cost of this, I think you will see more consolidation in the industry. I think you are going to see some of the legacy vendors, all the likes of private equity that are willing to write checks to revamp the business, invest in some of the newer tech and infrastructure to be able to, you know, meet the families where they're going. You know, I think if you look at the core wealth manager platforms that predominantly the independent broker-dealer space are around, Adipar, Black Diamond, Orion, Tamarack, that's long been kind of the core four reporting platforms. You know, with that being said, I think you see names like Mastro and MSCI with the Case and Burgess business and Slovis like making headway into the family office space. You know, there are names like Advizon that were very, you know, prominent in the RIA space that are now launching pieces of the business to target family offices. So, you know, I think that is going to be an interesting space to watch and to evolve, but past the core four, you really got to be smart with, you know, which tool and platform are you going, and does it have staying power to last the next, you know, 5+ years? Because as you may know, you don't want to go through multiple of these implementations. You really want to take the time to select the right tool. The silver bullet that every family office is looking for is to marry the performance reporting with the general ledger data all into one platform, rather than having the best of breed approach that I talked about earlier, which is having a reporting system and a GL and then integrating those to a certain extent. So, you know, we've seen some success with players like Eaton that are trying to solve that. I'm very interested to see what Aqualine does with Archway as they move on from SCI. But, you know, when I zoom out globally, it still feels like the early innings. When I talk to clients that are not located in the United States or located in different jurisdictions, you know, they're still consuming their data in multiple sources. They're aggregating it in Excel. They're not getting the most out of the system. So I think when you look at the way technology is evolving and growing, AI is shaking up the space. It's going to continue to shake up the space. It's easier than ever to build tech, to extract data, to assist the tech teams in translating data, building charts, and prompting it with questions. So I think the next layer for many of these platforms will be using AI to help the user, to help the platform grow and to scale. And as families continue to grow and family offices continue to grow with complexity, that's really where they need to leverage the likes of, you know, UBS and your team and folks like ourselves that really know the ins and outs of the space that can help you think through the next level of decisions as the families are engaging with consolidated reporting platforms.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. Before we leave here today, is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Same message for advisors and family offices is, you know, you really need to do your homework. You need to speak with folks in the industry. You know, family offices are very dynamic. You know, there's part of it that is understanding the technology, but probably even more important is understanding the people and the actual business behind the family office to make sure, again, you're meeting them where they are. You know, myself, we'd be happy to spend time understanding the family office structure, the operating model, so we can help them navigate the setup. And as with anything in life, it's important to have expertise, know your client. And so we'd be more than happy to have those discussions. And thank you again for having me today.
Thank you again for being here and for this insightful discussion. Additional industry-leading insights can be found in our latest edition of the UBS Family Office Quarterly, out now. We encourage you to subscribe to receive the latest edition at ubs.com/Family Office Quarterly. If you're interested in learning more about today's discussion or you want to connect with Jeremy or myself, reach out to your UBS financial advisor or to us at ubsfamilyofficesolutions@ubs.com. Before we wrap up, I want to mention that iCapital is included within the UBS Professional Network, but is not affiliated with UBS. Inclusion of iCapital in the Professional Network and the selection of iCapital participate in this discussion is not a recommendation of or a business referral to iCapital. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.